This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
A leading consultant believes that extending the opening hours of pubs and nightclubs should be scrapped. I've been asking you this evening, what do you think of it? Would you be a fan of staying in a nightclub until 6 o'clock in the morning? If you've been abroad and you've had that option, have you stayed in a nightclub until 6 o'clock in the morning? What's different about it? What was the feel about it? Was there enough accommodation and taxis and, you know, life around the place if you were leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning? Thank you so much for sending this in on a WhatsApp voice note. You can have your say on 087 110 2107. Natasha, great to hear from you.
And you asked, should the government extend the opening hours for partygoers? Absolutely not. Who in the name of God could drink until 6 o'clock in the morning after midnight that day anyway? You can be guaranteed it's more than just drink that they're on as well. Plus, when they get to that stage, they're not going to be spending money, so you're not going to even be able to pay the staff or the electricity bill at this rate. No, absolutely not.
Thanks, Billy, for sending that in. Joining me on the line, of course, is Sunil Sharp. You are the founder of Give Us the Night campaign. You've been lobbying for years since the government has announced that it was going to reform Ireland's nightlife laws. Thanks so much for joining me on the show. It's great to talk to you.
Hi, Louise. Thanks for having me.
So what do you say to somebody, kind of like Natasha, who's like, who in their right mind is going to stay out until 6 o'clock in the morning? Is it not going to cause more hassle than it's worth? Because, you know, I suppose people are going to feel in all different ways about this.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're also people who grew up taking for granted that they had dance venues around them, that there was a certain level and size of social infrastructure in their local town or city or village. We don't have that now. Mm-hmm. Irish nightlife has been dismantled, particularly since changes to licensing laws in 2008, which was also not helped by the recession that came, and we never really recovered. Certainly with the late night industry and dance venues, I was going to start in 2000, but let's go back to the 1950s. Let's go back to the show band era when there was over 1,000 dance halls. There was close to 1,200 dance halls when dance culture was at its strongest. You know, for me and for those involved in the campaign, I mean, that's the era that we're most inspired by. That it's about dancing. It's about access to dance floors, and you know, every dance floor that is removed or the building is demolished, that's bad for local culture, that's bad for social options, and we've lost so many of them. By the turn of the millennium, we had 522 nightclubs. Mm-hmm. Today, in 2024, we have 89 nightclubs. So I accept what your caller and the person who left that Vox Pop earlier, what they had to say. I understand the sort of the fear or uncertainty of the change. There's been a lot made of 6 a.m., but really, you know, we've done some public talks recently. We've spoken to a lot of operators. Most of them won't be going to 5 or 6 a.m. Yeah. And, you know, the person is right. You know, how will you get the staff? In the short term, it will be difficult to get staff. And there's a lot of younger staff who would have been doing these jobs in the past who aren't so keen on working late. And I think that's also reflected in terms of how a lot of younger people engage at nightlife now from a kind of an alcohol consumption point of view. They don't drink as much as they did. So like the going out at night is a little less wild than it used to be, I would say. But giving venues that flexibility, particularly as a lot of these events, they're ticketed events, they're lineup driven. Most people are going straight to the venue. You know, the idea that you have to get into a venue and be ready at like 10 o'clock, that makes no sense. That's not European nightlife. European nightlife generally starts at midnight and afterwards. And even to change the laws, to bring it up to 5 o'clock bar and out by 6 o'clock if the venue allows you to stay till then, it's not even fully in line with the European average. But this is something that's been promised for many, many years. It's been spoken about for back as far as the 1990s, you know. It's in the programme for government. It's been all over the media for, you know, actually since 2019, since the before the last local elections. This hasn't come out of nowhere. There was a public consultation that everybody could have got involved in as well, and many did. It had over 5,000 submissions. So we need the government to enact this legislation. We need them to get the detail right, and we just hope that people can learn to accept that there is a will and a desire for this, and they might just have to get used to it.
Yeah, I was out in Galway over the weekend myself. Now, I was driving, I wasn't drinking, but in Galway City, I mean, I spent all my 20s, out in Galway City, enjoying the nightlife, making friends. It's, you know, where I've made some of my best friends. And like that, you know, it wasn't really about the alcohol, it was about the connection with people on the dance floor. And I don't mean that in a way that we were shifting. I mean, actually enjoying the music and enjoying the DJs. But I had heard somebody say, we were talking about, you know, I suppose Galway City in general, it was lacking, you know, nightlife. And with two, you know, big music venues opening back up in the last number of the last number of weeks. But somebody had said to me that I think there was about 1,400 people in there on Saturday night. And I kind of went, whoa, where have these people been if they were flocking to a venue to go and, you know, whether it was drum and bass downstairs, whether it was, you know, something like chilled, if it was dance music, whatever it was, where were these people going to enjoy that music if they, you know, on their opening night, they had 1,400 people come through the doors?
Yeah, and I mean, if the venues are gone and you don't see it, it's like you almost don't expect it anymore. And our expectations, well, younger people's expectations of what nightlife can be and what it should be, kind of, you know, they drop, you know. And I think though, there was a big question mark over Electric there for a long time. And then I was surprised now that Cuba's reopened again. But, I mean, both of those venues both have a lot of history, both are legendary in their own way. Great news for Galway. And I mean, they're not the only venues that are just lying there as well that could reopen. I mean, we're down to a very low amount of nightclubs now. We're never going to get back up to 500 or 600, but it could increase over time. And like the really, it's about, you know, I don't see dance culture, like you said, it's about going out, it's about listening to the music, it's about meeting people. And I think one of the big threats, and we've spoken about this on some of our talks, Robbie always puts, who's involved in the campaign, he always puts very eloquently in terms of the threat of digital social infrastructure. And, you know, when you ask, you know, how have a lot of people been spending their nights, it's very easy to waste your night on your phone. You know, it's very easy to just stay in a lot of the time. And listen, nowadays it's very expensive to go out as well, and people need to pick and choose. The old days where you could be very loyal to a venue and go there week in, week out, I think people need a kind of a variety of choice and a variety of experiences that they can share with others and also share online. So sometimes that loyalty for the same venue week in, week out, that's kind of changed a little bit. A lot of people's patterns in terms of how they access nightlife have changed, and that made it very difficult for venues, especially post-pandemic as well, because a lot of the people that go out are obviously within a certain kind of age demographic, usually like from 18 to 21. And then as you go older, you get older, you're kind of sometimes looking for another option as well. Sure. And sometimes you're looking for those smaller, more intimate, small to mid-sized venues. And we've lost an awful lot of those, you know. So I'd love to think that, you know, there could be more options for older people as well, those who get into their mid to late 20s.
Definitely.
You know, there's a lot of talk as well of...
There's one thing I want to touch on, because if this passes, right, and I think we've spoken a lot during COVID about the misconnection that people have. And I mean, you know, I love to go out and I love to dance. But at the same time, me being a DJ, like I have DJed in lots of different venues. But if a manager came up to me and said, Louise, look, the venue is going to be staying open until 6 o'clock in the morning. I want you in at 10 o'clock, right? And okay, let's just say, maybe hypothetically speaking, they want me to play until 4 o'clock in the morning because they're a business. They maybe don't appreciate the fact that my best work is going to be a 2.5 hour set where it's going to be planned. I know exactly how to get everybody on the dance floor. I know where my peaks and troughs are going to be when I'm DJing. But at the same time, they're a business. They're not going to maybe pay three DJs. Let's just say it's one venue, three DJs on the, you know, the decks throughout the night.
Yeah.
The same way with the bar staff, the door staff, all of that kind of stuff. Like, where do we see the industry going if they're going to open longer? We need more staff, but we also need, I suppose, let's just take Galway City. We need the infrastructure around Galway City to work with it as well. We need more taxi drivers. We need more Gardaí, probably a Garda presence on the road until, you know, maybe later. I'm just trying to find a solution as to the people who are going to text in and say, well, look, is it safe? Are our cities safe for somebody to be leaving a nightclub at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning and being able to get back to their hotel or their accommodation or that type of thing? policing. Where do you see that going?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think from a policing point of view, there do need to be enhanced resources put in place, certainly for the first 6 to 12 months. And I think the government need to give a guarantee on that. They haven't really given that assurance. I believe that they have a plan in place, but they need to reassure the public. They need to reassure the industry, and they need to reassure all stakeholders in the nighttime economy. And you're right. You know, if you're leaving the venue at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you want to get home safely. Mm-hmm. And I think sequential or staggered closing that leads to people leaving a venue at a kind of time that they choose, rather than being dumped out on the streets all at once, which is the situation we've been in for years between late bars and clubs. I think by having that graduated closing system, it will increase the overall provision of late night transport. Now, that can be a little bit more challenging in more kind of rural or remote areas, where if somebody has brought somebody, you know, far out of the local town, they mightn't feel like coming all the way back in then to mm-hmm. see who's around and if they could, you know, if there's anyone left to pick up. I think that can really work effectively in urban areas, but how that will work with transport a little bit more remotely. I think one of the things that we probably have to acknowledge with that as well is there won't be the same amount of footfall in towns and in more kind of remote areas. It's not going to really demand the same level of, you know, later opening hours. I think in somewhere like Dublin where I live, we've gone past even really, it's not that we've gone past talking about it, I think we've established we're ready for this, yeah. You know, but I can understand in other parts of the country, particularly with late night transport, and this is something that the Transport Minister Eamon Ryan has to address. I mean, there haven't been the resources put in place. I mean, the NTA have made some advances in relation to 24-hour routes in Dublin and a little bit in Cork, but nowhere near enough for the kind of wider public to feel the benefits of that. So, I mean, I think in his final, what could be year or less, in that department, I think we need to see more from Eamon Ryan, even in the shape of a statement on it or an acknowledgement that the government needs to do better on this. There has been a lack of kind of joint up thinking and discussion on all elements of the nighttime economy and how it functions, and the ecology of the night is very complex, and we have to have all those pieces kind of like ticked and under review. And definitely we're not walking into this thinking that there's going to be no challenges as people adjust to us, but we do need an assurance from the government that they're thinking of this stuff and they have a plan.
Yeah, well, I think, you know what, like, it's great to have a conversation about it. We've got another message in. I'd rather know that my son is in a nightclub dancing than be going from house party to house party like I did. But like, I think it's great to have a conversation about this. Sunil, if anybody wants to find out more about Give Us The Night campaign, if they want to, you know, check out all of the bits and pieces you've been doing for this campaign, can you fill us in on all of the social media and resources?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best place to kind of check us is like Instagram is probably one of the social media platforms we use the most. I probably missed the whole TikTok thing. We never really went down the TikTok road in the end, but there, Twitter, like in terms of social media, I've got to say our website, we don't really have that much of a purpose for our website anymore. A lot of what we do, I suppose, is I social media, I suppose, is just the main kind of communication. And we're always, like, if you ever want to message us about something or, you know, ask us a question or show support, one of the ways that a lot of people can show support is by going onto our website, going onto the resources section, and you can use the logo. We'd encourage any promoter or organizer or somebody that wants to attach our logo to any kind of promotional material or any kind of content you're using online, that helps us a lot. So I think keep an eye on this. Speak to your public mm-hmm. representatives. Explain it to them. Be the educators, because a lot of public representatives out there don't understand this, you know, and they have limited capacity to want to understand it as well. We try to educate in our own way, pass on all the relevant information and ideas that we feel we need to share with the public, and then you, as the public and a supporter of our campaign, are the custodians of those messages. and we want you to pass it on to your local public representatives from a local level, whether it's a local candidate, a local councillor who's already been elected, or, you know, your TDs or any senators that you know. But certainly, absolutely, you know, this is going to ramp up now in the coming months, and it's already, we're seeing that there's some people within government that aren't so keen on it. I believe they need to understand it a little bit better in some cases, and I think it's up to our supporters as well to, on the ground, to be explaining that to some of these individuals and show them that this stuff really matters. So,
absolutely. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on. We will catch up with you again soon, because it's great to get both sides of the story. And
if
you want to text us in, 087-110-207. But Sunil, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate it.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.